Current Affairs. This is Akashvani. In the weekly program Current Affairs, now we bring you a discussion on safeguarding and strengthening digital rights and news ecosystem. The participants are Aditi Tandon, senior journalist, and Sandeep Tripathi, AI content creator. Moderator is Niharika Bhuvania.
Good evening and welcome to today's episode of Current Affairs. You're with me, Niharika, your host. In the light of the recently concluded DNPA Conclave 2026, where we've come to understand that there is an inflection point in global media, today we open up a conversation around digital rights and other issues concerning the digital space as a whole. In this conversation, we have Aditi Tandon, senior journalist, and Sandeep Tripathi, AI content creator with us. Good evening, Aditi and Sandeep. Thank you so much for joining us for today's conversation around digital rights and other issues.
Thank you, Niharika.
Thanks, Niharika.
So, Aditi, let's begin with you. Since you're on the journalism side of things, the DNPA conclave was recently held. Can you briefly tell us what it was all about? And there was also a great emphasis on bringing back trust in news and in digital media, given how it has eroded in the current times with all the information overload.
Union Information and Broadcasting Minister and IT and Electronics Minister yesterday giving his important remarks. He made a couple of very interesting and a couple of very compelling arguments. The big argument being that the entire human society is based on trust. All institutions that we've ever had, everything that we stand for, everything that we draw from is basically based on faith and mutual trust. Now, throughout human history, technology has mainly been used for advancement of the human civilization, for intelligence, for welfare, largely human-centric approaches. For instance, you've seen throughout the revolutions that we've had, the Industrial Revolution, now we are into the Digital Revolution age. But right now we are faced with a prospect where technology appears to be becoming bigger than the person wielding it. That's the challenge everybody is facing. And I think Minister Ashwini Vaishnaw articulated it very firmly yesterday. He said in no uncertain terms that all social media platforms will have to rise to the occasion and understand that preserving trust is the first ingredient for any kind of platform and for any kind of human exchange.
Before we move on, I would just like listen to what the Honorable Minister said at the conclave.
Every arm, every institution that human beings build, that is based upon these fundamental tenets where mutual trust defines the entire core of the institution. The way the world is emerging today, that core tenet of trust is under threat. That threat is coming from so many different angles. Deep fakes, which can make you believe things which have never happened anyway. Disinformation barrage, which can cause that sense of distrust which doesn't exist in the real life.
Sandeep, I'd like to bring in you here. Now, since you come on the content creator side of things, and as the minister rightly pointed out, that today the nature of the internet has changed from merely information sharing to a powerful media outlet in itself. I'd like your perspective on it as a content creator. Is this change good, bad, somewhere in between? Where do we stand on this?
I'll start with a good aspect because generally that's where I've seen a lot of things go in a positive direction. If you look at the times when it was in the 90s, if anybody wanted to start a TV show or some sort of a thing, there was a lot of barriers for them, right? Not just from the perspective of having equipment or a crew and all that sort of stuff, even having partnerships with TV channels or whatsoever outlet they need to have so that their message can reach the audience. Now, all of that is gone. So distribution in itself is not really much of a trouble if you have a story to say. Now it comes down to the story that you're about to say. This is something that has been in a gray area for a very long time because these platforms used to be treated as a neutral sort of a place where they are not responsible for the content. But of course, now that scenario is definitely changing. My take is obviously that there is certain areas where we should be concerned about. And quite honestly, I would say that the social media platforms or platforms in general should take this as a responsibility for themselves. I just had this conversation with one of my colleagues a couple of days ago when we were just scrolling on Instagram and we were seeing a lot of content which was not positive in nature. And people were like, why do we get to see this content? I mean, how is it like these people get so much of views and everything? Why do people consume such a thing? And it really came down to this sort of a point that if the platform in itself is responsible enough to not push this merely for revenue, then these sort of creators will automatically start taking a back step and they would probably start working on areas that are helpful for the society. So my angle is still towards that side. I am still optimistic, but yeah, the social media platforms and the digital platforms in general need to be a bit more responsible.
Absolutely. In fact, I'm glad you brought in this point about responsibility, because responsibility has been at the center of this debate, I think, for as long as we can imagine, on a legal side as well as on an individual side. So, Aditi, let me ask you here. Platforms today can get digital rights to the kind of content they want to host. In fact, that may not be as difficult as it seems on paper. But there is also this aspect of responsibility. So, how can platforms be made more responsible for the content hosted by them? And moreover, how can we make them responsible for the access that they are giving to teenagers and children alike?
See, what can the platforms do right now? Right now, yesterday, like you played the minister's statement just now, the minister is right now placing the rules of engagement on the table for people to come back and cooperate with the government. What do we have right now, Niharika? We have a couple of legal frameworks under which the social media is currently allowed to operate. The broad legal framework in the country under which you can actually force some sort on some level of accountability, we all know, is the Information Technology Act. And this particular act is dated 2000, but we've had rules that were framed as lately as 2021. And we have a very stringent framework to deal with unlawful and harmful content in the digital space and impose very clear obligations on intermediaries to ensure accountability. For instance, what can you do? Suppose you are somebody who has been harmed on account of, say, obscenity or on account of harmful content that has been put using you on the platform. Your picture has been morphed or something has been attributed to you through synthetic content generation. You can actually go to the intermediary. For instance, all intermediaries, all social media platforms which have 50 lakh plus followers, they are under the law obliged to appoint what we know as grievance officers. They are also under the law obliged to produce compliance reports as to tell people, citizens like you and me publicly, that these many complaints were received against our content during this period of time. This is what we did about it. That is part of trust and faith building, which the minister was talking about yesterday. So one part is, have they done it? That is for the government to see, because that's under the law of the land. Secondly, what you can do is you can then go to these grievance officers. For instance, if you have a general complaint, it should be resolved within 72 hours under the law. If you have immediate pressing concern, for instance, something to do with nudity or obscenity, then the intermediary is obliged to remove that content within a period of not more than 24 hours. But these are rules and laws. We all know how the real world functions. It doesn't function so promptly as the law would want it to function. So what I feel is time has come for the governments to draw a line. Because for a very long time, whereas content generation, it's nobody's case that digital content is not helping advance welfare of humankind. There have been so many digital content platforms which have furthered the cause of human health. We've had technologies that have been developed. We've had so many measures. For instance, just take the eSanjeevani portal of the government. It's a government portal, but it has brought medicine to the homes of people. It proved a game changer during the COVID times, because when people were sick and could not see a doctor, so online consultations became a rage. And that is something that needs to be advanced. So you need to basically replicate and amplify such models, as against the other models where vested interests will come into play. And you know what I mean. Vested interests on any front. It could be political, it could be criminal. There are all kinds of elements. Now, the cyber world is full of criminals. So you have to draw a line. And I think that's what Mr. Vaishnav was hinting at yesterday. A greater degree of regulation.
Sandeep, I would like to come back to you. Now, I believe that you are very well versed with all kinds of social media, since you are a content creator yourself. Now, let's talk about algorithms. Drawing on what Aditi said, some kind of algorithms on some platforms tend to push some kinds of media or content more than the others, which may not be positive in nature. So, do you think the platforms themselves can play a greater role in regulating themselves and bringing out the right kind of content, which is positive in nature, and ensuring that it reaches the right audience?
If you're asking this from a technical standpoint, then we all know that can easily be done. I'm not going to specifically name a couple of apps, but there have been cases where the same app in different countries behaves in a different manner. They push different sort of content and they have different sort of a setup that goes into the picture. There have been several hearings and litigations around things like this, but till now I don't really see much happening in that regard. But yes, just to reinforce what you said, and even I strongly believe in this, and as I was earlier saying also, that these platforms need to be more responsible. Of course, the algorithm should actually penalize the ones which are harmful in nature. And it's not really much of like rocket science or anything that cannot be done. These days, even AI content that is being generated, at least the credible ones, the good ones that you know of, they are all marked with some sort of a synthetic ID in them, which can make it easy to recognize. Not all of them are actually following this, but the good ones, at least the ones by Google that I know of, they follow this sort of a thing. So this is actually doable. And if the platform take responsibility as a core thing over short-term revenue or something like that, then this can easily be doable. Maybe this is something that can be driven by some sort of a legislation that will force them in that sort of a direction. I mean, of course, we already have rules, as we were just listening to Adityji talking about this, but then the enforcement of those rules is also something that is a different question. But if all of this really falls into place, then yes, it can easily be done. As far as I understand, it's just a matter of when it will actually happen.
Understood. In fact, I think that makes it clearer for us that there is a possibility and we don't need to be worried about that. Before I move on to the next point that I have in mind, let's quickly listen to what Honorable Minister Ashwini Vaishnav has said on the issue of being responsible while generating content.
So many issues which need to be addressed in a very decisive way. That time has now come. Online safety, where safety is from authenticity of news content, safety of our children, protection against obscenity, protection against synthetically generated fake content. All those items really need a very decisive step today, because they are basically challenging, they are basically destroying the fundamental tenet of our society, which is the trust in different institutions, which the society has created over centuries.
Let's talk about how social media and the use of social media by children assumes importance in today's day and age where there is an information overload. So Aditi and Sandeep, I'd like both of you to comment on this. Can we take some steps as parents and as individuals to ensure that our children are safe in the online space? While banning platforms may be one way, and a lot of nations have done that, is there anything that we can do as parents to safeguard our children first? And second, what is the government push and policies for online safety of children and teenagers?
This law, which we know by the name of Digital Personal Data Protection Act 2023, a very powerful legislation, it has established basically a legal framework to regulate the processing of digital personal data of all users. This law dwells in great detail on the safety of children, especially online. And it basically says that data fiduciaries that we are talking about, social media platforms, basically to process personal data of children, they will have to take verifiable parental consent. So what the platforms can do, and what see, parents have to regulate the screen time of children. It's not as though you will buy an expensive phone for your child and give complete control of the phone to the child and not regulate any screen time. Then it is like asking for trouble, because children will not self-censor, obviously. So One is at the level of the family, what you do. We have had Australia bring out the first legislation in the world where they ban the use of social media for children below the age of 16, I think. That is what they have done. And that they have triggered a debate worldwide. Our economic survey, which was presented on the eve of the budget, also argued for a similar thing. In fact, Chief Economic Advisor, when he was presenting his remarks on the economic survey, he made a very pertinent point that social media, unregulated social media, harmful online content was actually bringing down emotional and cognitive health of children. So you are actually playing with fire, Niharika, because your demographic dividend is at the mercy of this very huge menace called social media, unless it's regulated. Any technology to serve the humanity well has to have guardrails. Without the guardrails, everything will fall all over and there'll be no control. So that's the control that the government has to take. And that one point I said, that one is parental consent that the digital personal data protection law mandates. This particular law also prohibits processing of personal data which is detrimental to the well-being of children. For instance, you can't do anything to track or monitor the behavior of children or targeted advertising. For instance, ultra-processed foods or advertising being hosted on major platforms, social media platforms, or cosmetics, something that's age inappropriate, let's put it that way, and harmful. So there are laws already available. And you already know that we have a broad criminal law structure under the Bharatiya Nyaya Sanhita, which is the 2023, which provides the broad legal framework where anybody can go. But this digital data protection law is a standalone legislation which deals with data privacy and safety of children online. And it's extremely important in this age and time to ensure that these laws work, because we've just had a very shocking revelation coming out of the UK, where a report was presented to the UK Parliament of how grooming gangs had been active online for years with nobody noticing. And now it has become a huge, huge trouble. And 1,000 cases related to these gangs have just been reopened after a major investigation was launched under the UK Parliament's aegis. And now you are proceeding against these people who were actually online predators. They were looking for vulnerable children. You see, there are all kinds of children online. Mm-hmm. There are already children who have disabilities, children who are generally disadvantaged. It's not difficult to get hold of these children. So you have to ensure these protections in the law work on the ground.
In fact, I think online space is one such space where predators can disappear for years and the authorities will not even get to know of it for, I don't know, how many years ahead. So that gives them quite a head start in furthering their agenda. Sandeep, I would like to extend the same question to you and also add another layer of it, which Aditi rightly touched upon, about the demographic dividend. So I'm sure there has to be a detrimental psychological impact of excessive use of AI and depending on the digital world for basic everyday tasks as well.
Correct. In fact, the two aspects that you originally talked about, one was, of course, the legislation side, which is what the government can do or what lawmakers can do. And the other one was the impact of parents and parenting and all that sort of stuff. While I strongly believe that legislation has its place and they can also get a couple of things done, which is not really that straightforward to do, I believe the parenting aspect is something that is more influential and has way more impact than anything else. And why I say that is because when the minds are young, especially of children, they generally don't have any benchmarks to compare with what they are listening, if that is a good thing or a bad thing. And turns out they get influenced really very fast and really very easily. Social media, when it comes into this picture without any protection or any guardrails as such, and when people start to consume stuff like that, it becomes like a very dangerous situation to actually deal with, as we have noticed in so many cases. But one of the most powerful devices that we now know of, which is the smartphone. The revolution was started by Apple probably in 2007, Steve Jobs being the face of it, to be honest. Even Steve Jobs had admitted in many of his interviews that he didn't allow his children to use the iPhone or the iPad for a very long period of time, unless they had reached a particular amount of age or had developed some sort of an understanding about the world.
I think now let's go to a very different aspect of the conversation, which is about royalties and content creation. Well, I'd like to pause for a moment and listen to the Honorable Minister's thoughts on this issue.
The platforms must also share revenue in a fair way with the people who are creating the content, whether it is news persons, the conventional media, the creators sitting in far-flung areas, large influencers, small influencers, the professors and researchers who are disseminating their work using the platforms. Everywhere the concern, the principle now has to be set right, and there has to be a fair share of revenue with the people who are creating the content.
So Sandeep, here I would like to start with you again, since you are on the content creator side of things. Now today, it's very difficult to trace the origin of a piece of content, whereas earlier there were a lot of boundaries. There were clear boundaries when it came to revenue sharing, when it came to knowing who published a particular piece of content first, or you could trace back the origins, so to say. But today in this era where you can remix a lot of content and almost everyone is a content creator in some or the other capacity, how can we ensure that revenue is shared authentically and in a manner that benefits everybody involved? And also, are there any provisions on the copyright of such content, which is often, you know, remixed or is inspired from something that came before?
Okay, that's actually a very important aspect I would like to think, because, you know, the revenue sharing thing, which was initially introduced somewhere around in the early 2010s, I would say, or late 2000s, when YouTube came up with its ad revenue sharing sort of a thing, I believe that actually has a severe impact when it comes to the quality of content that you actually get to see on these sort of platforms. Because if you recall, back in the day, in the earlier years of YouTube, it was all content which was generated by any random person who has an access to camera, and that was just for fun. But now you see people building proper studios with proper lighting equipment and having probably teams of 15 to 20 people and then running that as a real media business. So all of that could happen because revenue started getting into the picture. One of the things that actually comes over here is that how the platforms exactly understand who they should compensate and who they shouldn't. And the good thing is I have been noticing YouTube take actions in this sort of a regard, which I would say is a very positive step, and I would love to see this being replicated at other places as well, because other platforms are still probably a few steps behind. Why I say that is because recently YouTube said that any content that is AI generated but it is mass produced and adds no value will not be monetized, and by any chance if it has already been monetized, it will be demonetized. So there were many such channels which were just creating all these mass produced content, which we call AI slop. Actually, that's the term that we use most of the times. Those channels had gathered probably 2 to 3 million of subscribers. They were having views. Much of that was with no value, but just some random entertainment, and it was absolutely a wastage of time. All those got demonetized. So those people started now focusing on the things that actually adds value. So you see, this is exactly how the platforms can actually drive the correct way of how you should be generating content or creating content and all that sort of stuff. So this is one aspect of it. And the second one you obviously talked about is how it is supposed to be shared amongst everybody, because we are living in a generation where everything is being, you know, remixed. The good thing is, once again, a couple of platforms, again, one platform in particular, which is YouTube, they have figured this out in a particular way. For example, they were the first ones who did audio fingerprinting on a mass scale. So that exactly checks out a song, creates an audio fingerprint of that, and then it tracks if you are using that sort of a song anywhere else. It can also be a cover version or something like that. Mm-hmm. In that case, also they figure it out, and then the correct right holders are compensated for it. This is probably not something that exists legally as a law or anything like that, but this is the technology that they develop, which I think other platforms also has access to. And if they develop in this sort of a way, I strongly believe that, you know, revenue can also reach out to the right people who were the originators of the content who had created in the first place. The technology, of course, exists for it, and the case study of YouTube proves that it can be implemented on a large scale as well.
Sure. In fact, I think that ensures that we'll at least be a step closer to sharing royalties and revenue in the right way. Aditi, a quick comment from you on this?
See, there are a number of issues with respect to revenue sharing model, and the only legislative example that we have before us where any country has actually drafted a law to force the big tech to share revenue, for instance, has been in Australia again. Last year, Australian government had announced plans to basically tax big tech firms like Google and Facebook if they failed to share revenues with the news media outlet organizations whose news they were hosting on their platforms. And this basically can run into millions of dollars in taxes. So I think that is one example that we have before us. And at that time, Niharika, a very important comment was made when this law was being piloted by Australian Communications Minister, I still remember, Michelle Rowland. He had basically said that rapid growth of all the digital platforms is disrupting the traditional media landscape. And what it is doing is threatening the very financial viability of public interest journalism. Because if you can pick up traditional media content, host it on your platform, make money on it, you are killing jobs in conventional media spaces. For instance, people like me can lose a job if my content can easily be hosted on, say, Facebook, on, say, Google platforms, YouTube, or anywhere. So there have been examples of governments bringing in regulations. And I have a feeling, Niharika, that governments need not be apologetic about bringing in guardrails, as we've been talking about, simply because technology has to be reined in. you had chemical weapons come in, you had atomic weapons come in. Government stepped in, right, to regulate the atomic energy and power sector. Otherwise, it would be a free-for-all race. There has to be a system where nations understand that they have to rise to the occasion and ensure that citizen is put at the center of everything. In fact, I must mention here that when Prime Minister Narendra Modi was addressing the India AI Impact Summit in Bharat Mandapam recently, he made a very important comment. He addressed the global tech and said, please look beyond profits. Look at purpose. He also gave the Manav vision of artificial intelligence governance landscape, which was a vision that India will champion, he said, you know, where he said everything has to have an ethical cornerstone.
Correct.
That you have to have some kind of a moral compass to govern this very unregulated space. And he also said that welfare of humankind, a human-centric approach has to be at the center of everything. And then watermarking, authenticity labeling of AI-generated content. What are we asking as consumers? All we are asking is that we should know that a particular content that we are consuming online is real or fake. That's
absolutely
all we are asking.
Yeah.
What's difficult with that? We have food labels. All packets have food to tell us whether this is non-vegetarian or vegetarian, so that if I'm a vegetarian, I can avoid non-vegetarian food. It's as simple as that. So just on the same parameter of labeling food, which is a matter of human health, social media companies should start labeling digital content with authenticity labels and watermarking. There's no problem in that.
Sandeep, very quickly, is there any way that you can differentiate between fake videos versus authentic ones? We've been talking about deep fakes. And second, what are your thoughts on the recently concluded India AI Impact Summit? And also, just a quick comment on the ethical use of AI by citizens themselves as individuals.
So I would say that when it comes to identifying what is real or what is not, I would still suggest people to actually use their wisdom at this sort of a stage, because there are many technologies that are in place these days which will eventually come into play. For example, as I spoke about VO from Google, they have the synthetic ID which actually tells what is what and all that sort of stuff. But for now, I would just recommend people to not just believe anything you read or anything that is right there, because the video can also be, you know, synthetic and generated. So that's one take that I just have mainly for the people at large. The AI Impact Summit that you are talking about, I think it's really very nice that the government is taking interest in this technology. It's one of the emerging technologies, I would say, because since 2023, it has seen a huge uptick when it comes to its usage and everything. And I'm very happy to see that the government is actually taking this seriously enough that, you know, it can be adopted and it can actually be implemented in such a way which can obviously result in some good economic benefits for all of us. See, once again, it will come down to one major question that has always been that what matters to you more, the progress of the human species or the short-term revenue? If people are clear about this and they know exactly what to do when, then I don't think so this is going to be a very important question in the long run. If you see one of the companies, which is Anthropic, which is probably the only AI company that I look up to right now, which is on the right side of things, they started because they had a lot of disagreements over how other companies are using AI. I think this is the question that everybody should ask, not just with AI, with content creation, with content generation, filmmakers who are making movies and all that sort of stuff. Everybody should ask this sort of question, like, am I doing this just to make some money, maybe in the short run, or is it something that will push the human species forward? As long as you have the right answer over there, I think this should be kind of like a no-brainer in most cases.
Right. Thank you so much, Sandeep. And Viditi, quick comment on all of these.
So I'll just make a very quick comment. My comment would be, see, we cannot let this debate simply rest on communities. If you have unregulated global tech, there's a problem. So what do you have to do to solve it? You need global standards to regulate AI. You need clear definitions. The India AI Summit argued for global standards for AI and for treating AI as a common global good. I think that's the point to start.
Definitely. I think a very interesting analogy there as well. But now we really need to wind up looking at the clock. So thank you so much, Aditi, and thank you so much, Sandeep, for joining us for this conversation around digital rights and digital media. And given how voluminous it was, I'm sure we could very well make do with a part two of this conversation, but perhaps some other time. Many thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for having me.
You are listening to a discussion on safeguarding and strengthening digital rights and news ecosystem. The participants were Aditi Tandon, senior journalist, and Sandeep Tripathi, AI content creator. Moderator was Niharika Bhuvania. This program was produced and presented by the News Services Division of Akashvani. You can listen to it on our mobile app, News on AIR. This program is also available on our YouTube channel, News on AIR Official. You may share your feedback about this program through email at airnsttalks@gmail.com or WhatsApp on 9289094044. Current Affairs.